Welcome to the Every Day is Saturday podcast, the number one motivation show on the planet.
No more Mondays for you. It's time to make every day Saturday. Boom!
This is the podcast where we help you to accept who you are, not where you are.
On the roller coaster of life, you know we only sit in the front seat, champion. So make sure you are fastened in tight. Let's go!
Tired of feeling run down all the time during the week? We can help you make every day feel like it's a Saturday.
Let's go pack your bags. It's time to leave Averageville.
Introducing the man who thinks abnormal stands for above normal.
When you're on fire, people will travel from miles around to watch you burn, baby. We are fired up.
The host of the Every Day is Saturday show, Sam Crowley.
What is up? A tremendous Saturday to you, my friend, the champion, who knows what it means to make every day Saturday. Even if you're in the J-O-B, the jump out of bed just over broke mentality right now, it's okay, man. It's only temporary because every day is Saturday once you finally realize that it's absolutely insane to work 5 days a week only to ask permission. Can you believe that as adults, we have to actually fill out permission slips like we're 4 years old? Hi, I'd like to request June 14th through June 21st of 2017 off, please. That's if nobody's already done it. Come on, man. It's the Every Day Saturday Show. My name's Sam Crowley, host of the show going global, worldwide, with a message of hope, a message of inspiration, and a message for you that you get one shot through this thing called life. Accept who you are. Do not accept where you are. You don't have to. You can stop right now, go in a completely different direction, and absolutely crush it. I'll show you how. I'll give you tangible examples through my own life and through what we call Saturday stories of individuals who have done the exact same thing. Matter of fact, got a great interview coming up this Sunday with the show. Today, by the way, it's February 28th, 2014, my 16-year wedding anniversary to the beautiful Mrs. Crowley, Angela Crowley. Finishing that last thought, Sunday I'm interviewing my pastor of the church for our Spiritual Sunday podcast, Mr. Shane Harden. Shane and I met 10 years ago when he was a worship pastor at Montgomery Community Church, where I used to go. And I was still this corporate slave checking emails on my BlackBerry. We're going to have a great conversation. You got to plug into the Spiritual Podcast March 2nd, 2014. It's going to be a great one because Shane's cool, man. He's a great pastor. He lets me swear and then pretends like he doesn't hear me. It's really cool the way we kind of work that back and forth. Like, hey, Shane, did you catch that? No, I didn't hear it. Oh, okay, cool. I know you did because you're 4 feet from me, but that's good. We're going to have a great time, man. A lot of fun. He's a really cool dude. And we're going to talk about being from the same part of the country. We met in Cincinnati at a church, and he's from Warren, Pennsylvania, 30 miles from Bradford, where I grew up. So great time. So plug into the March 2nd, 2014 podcast, Spiritual Sunday, Shane Harden and I. Anyway, hey, a lot of great feedback from the Life is Just a Play podcast from yesterday. Had a lot of fun. That was fun to listen to, wasn't it? That was even more fun to to record. It is. It's just a play, man. All these people get all worked up about, you know, your boss or your coworkers, or if you're an entrepreneur, you know, how to go and network with people and all these meet and greets and things like that. It's just a play, man. Everybody's acting. It's time for you to be you. You know, you got that you, that person who's anxiety ridden and you worry, do you have enough? And are you going to be successful? And are people going to realize that you really aren't successful before you start a business? And how do you get all that credibility? It's just an act, man. And I'm not saying, I don't like that fake it till you make it. I'm not a big fan of that. I'm just a fan of being who you are when you were 10 and 12 years old. You didn't care. You just did it, you know? All of a sudden, we hang around some people in our 20s and 30s and into our 40s. I'll be 46 this year. Trust me, I know. And these people start telling you who they think you are. The hell with that. You don't let anybody tell you who you think you are unless you send a survey out. That's what I'd say. Oh, did I send you a survey? Huh. Then I don't want your opinion. Unless I did. I can't remember. What's your email address? Did I get you a survey about I value your opinion? I'd like to know who you think that I am. Oh, I didn't send you that? Okay. Well, then why don't you just do us both a favor and shut up? And when I was at work, I used to had the most annoying, annoying cubicle mate. This was way back in the day. This was Buffalo, New York, actually, back in the 90s. He's like, hey, Sam, what was that? He's always used to eavesdrop on my phone calls. I hated that. It's like anything more annoying than somebody, hey, who's that on the phone? Who's that? Like, dude, I know we got cubicles that are like 3 feet apart, but do you got to ask every freaking time I hang up the phone who I was talking to? Come on, dude, seriously. So finally, I just started answering like this. Hey, Sam, who's that? Who's that? Oh, hey, didn't I tell you? No. Well, it must not be any of your business. Ding! Oh, I did it to him once. He's like, oh, what a jerk. Then I did it to him again. And I did it to him, like, you know, I did something bad. He's the one eavesdropping, nosy guy. Then I did it again, three times. After about the third time, he never asked again. Now, he probably thought I was a big jerk, but what's more annoying? Having somebody think you're a jerk that you don't like, and they pester you, asking you who's on the other end of the phone, or not having them talk to you anymore, right? I like that. I like that. I see, my wife doesn't like that about me. She wishes I was more, like, accommodating, like, she likes the fact. Here's the deal. First of all, been married 16 years. 16 years ago today, what were you doing? It was February 28th, a Saturday. I can tell you like it was yesterday. Nice weather in the greater Cincinnati area, too. It was like a high, right around 60 degrees. Sun really started to come out later in the day. I'm going to take a trip down memory lane, if you'll allow me to, on the Everyday Saturday show today, because there is a point to today's show. What were you doing 16 years ago? Hit me up on Twitter. It's my anniversary. It's our anniversary. Who sang that? Was it Tony? It's our anniversary. I think that was Tony back in the 90s. Then we got happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. That was the 80s. I don't know who that was either. I'll have to figure that one out. I'll have to sing into my computer and then try to find a way to Google voice it or something like that. But anyway, hit me up on Twitter. What were you doing February 28th, 1998? And what are you doing now? Anything different? But my wife, when I have conversations with people, I'm not rude. It's just I cut the cord quickly if I find out that this ain't going anywhere fast, right? She likes the outcome of that. Like we all like the outcome of not having annoying people in our life, but it's uncomfortable to get to that point because you got to have an uncomfortable conversation. However, when you realize that it's really only uncomfortable for the person who's feeling that, then it's not that bad. The words are just words. I mean, you know, words, when you put them together in a certain context, I guess they have a meaning, but it's really only the meaning that you're willing to give to the word. Wouldn't you agree? Like, if I said these words and they weren't in any necessarily in any order, let me just think of beautiful, you are... today. It's kind of mishmash. You are beautiful today. Well, it has a little bit of a different meaning, right? My boss sucks. It's just a statement. I mean, I'm not saying my boss sucks in the sense that he's an individual or she's an individual that doesn't have any soul. Although I guess there's a couple of them out there like that. I truly believe there's only 10 really nasty people in the world. They just kind of move around a lot. And they kind of seem to be in your way every now and again. But saying my boss sucks is not saying anything. Like, I'm sure he or she may be a good spouse. They may be a good parent. They may be, you know, a church-going individual that tithes a lot, more than 10% or so at their church. But just saying it sucks to work for my boss. But anyway, words are just words. And the meaning that somebody gives them, you can't control the meaning that somebody gives. So my wife really enjoys the fact that I've been able to have a lot of this relationship surgery, as I like to call it, as a result of having conversations with people that really are not uncomfortable for me. I certainly don't lose any sleep. I used to. Back in the day, I used to struggle. Like, having a tough conversation with somebody, saying, yo, dude, back off, you know. Going through my cell phone and deleting 50 names and phone numbers out of my cell phone back when I first quit my job was really exhilarating. Really, really exhilarating. Because I didn't have to tell them that I was unfriending them. It's like Facebook now. You unfriend somebody. I don't even know if they know. But that's a whole other story. Don't even get me started on the stupidity of Facebook and how people who have 8,000 friends really think they're their friends and spend way too much time. It's like you talk about living a play. It's like, hey, I got 5,000 friends. No, you don't. You got four. But you got all these other people that just want to market to you. But having an uncomfortable conversation, it used to be difficult. I used to lose a lot of sleep. But like, how am I going to have this conversation? Because in corporate, as I talked about last week on the show, when you had a conversation in corporate, they trained you. It was open, develop, clarify, and close. That's the four steps of having a successful corporate conversation. Open, develop, clarify, and close, which is really, it's actually a good practice to get into. You ought to try it. You know, you open the conversation and you kind of, you know, it's nothing too rough. How you doing? How's the kids? Blah, blah, blah. Develop, and you develop the conversation. Hey, I want to talk about three or four things today with you, and you kind of lay it out there. And then you clarify what you're talking about, and then you gain agreement from them that we're cool, and then you close, right? Maybe I added another step in there, gaining agreement I might have missed. It's been a while since I've been through the AT&T Nice to Have You With Us handbook, so excuse me if my you know, my tools are a little rusty right now. But having a conversation with somebody that is either exhilarating for you, for them, is cool, not so exhilarating for them, that's cool. You've been on the receiving end of conversations where you walked away feeling, eh, that sucked. Well, you know, what an idiot they are. And then you've walked, I'm sure, I mean, some people, they've been fired and they thank the person. That's somebody that can have a great conversation. That open, develop, clarify, agreement, close. Yeah, that person read that book and studied it good. Because you've seen people get fired and they're like, oh, I love you too. Oh, it was awesome, thank you. Yeah, sure, I look for your last two checks in the mail. Okay, hugs, see you later. But back in 1998, when my wife and I first met, we were complete and polar opposites. We still are. And she's a massive introvert. Does not like to venture outside. We went out last night to Trio's restaurant here in Cincinnati. Nice place, not the super fanciest place, but it's not Olive Garden either. It's nice. You're out. It's $100 dinner for two. I had two glasses of red wine. I don't drink alcohol very often, especially wine. First glass of wine always tastes amazing to me. I mean, it always just feels good, you know, kind of numbs my brain and just puts me in a good place, you know. The second glass of wine, it's like driving a car over the cliff to me. And by the way, I don't drink and drive, so the keys immediately go over to my wife. Or I start drinking water, and we wait for about an hour before I leave. But anyway, the glass of wine feels so good. I don't know how to make that second glass of wine not take me to the point. Like, I went to bed at 8 o'clock last night. We got home from dinner at 7:15, something like that. Kids are crazy. Madeline, our oldest, she's going to be 13 in a couple weeks. She babysat the youngest two. We're getting text messages, you know, after an hour that, you know, someone's fighting with somebody. Madeline's not treating us right. We wanted ice cream. She didn't give it to us. How do you turn the TV on? All this stuff, you know. Our daughter, our youngest daughter, 8 years old, is trying to FaceTime us on our iPhone at dinner. I'm like, yeah, it's not happening. Text only, all right? Unless the house is on fire, something's going crazy, you know when it's an emergency. But FaceTiming me because we don't have ice cream, yeah, that ain't happening. Not at the anniversary dinner. So the couple glasses of wine was awesome. But I want to know, man, you got any tips? Hit me up, at Sam Crowley. I want to know why, after two glasses of wine, I feel like I just did upside-down keg stands at a frat party. I'm not feeling it, man. First class, tremendous, you know? And it always makes me want to have that second as well. But for some reason, that one knocks me out. Got home last night, crashed at 8. But 16 years ago, I was a different person. I could drink a lot more, but I was mainly a beer guy, Miller Lite, Bud Light. And here's the kicker. You want to know something funny? It was a Saturday, February 28th, when I got married to Angela. We had met each other in 1996. I mentioned that last week. June 2nd, 1996, we went to the movies. Mission Impossible was the first movie we went to in Niagara Falls, New York, because we lived in Buffalo area. And it's funny, most people go to Niagara Falls as a vacation for a week, you know. Oh my God, it's Niagara Falls. We go there, have dinner and a movie. It's like, oh yeah, there's the falls out the window. It's not that it's not a big deal, but you don't look at it. I guess when you live in a touristy town like New York City or something like that, or maybe if you live, you know, your house is looking at Mount Rushmore, it ain't a big deal. Same thing with Niagara Falls. But anyway, we went there for dinner, and we got engaged after 3 months. We moved to North Carolina together because I was in a job. I got transferred my first management job in 1996. Spent 7 months in North Carolina before I quit. I guess I've quit so many times this job. I didn't even realize it. I forgot I quit my job in 1996 because I was on the road. Oh, my God. Let me tell you. I was driving parts of the United States. I was stationed as in my old Army talk. Hey, by the way, some great feedback. My one day in the Army. One guy, Robert, thanks so much, tweeted, thank you for not joining the Army. We appreciate you not doing that to us. Hey, you're welcome. You're welcome. I am not the individual. We were all well served by that decision of me in and out of the Army in one day. but I was located in High Point, North Carolina. Never been to the South in my life, ever. I mean, I lived in West Palm in 88, and that ain't the South, okay? That's Gloryville. That's like alternate reality place. So we live in High Point, which is the furniture capital of the world. They got Thomasville, North Carolina, about 20 minutes south, 30 minutes south of High Point. But the problem was we had a sales campaign in High Point that ended in February of 97. So I was in there. It's pretty much not a lot of travel, and then it was on the road. I drove to Monk's Corner, South Carolina, which is pretty close to Charleston. Charleston's a beautiful city. Monk's Corner, I'm sure, I don't remember much of it. Small town. If you ever been to these places, let me know, man, what you think about them. Hit me up at Sam Crowley. I'm curious. You ever heard of these places? Statesboro, Georgia. All over the South. I started driving. And it's just a different culture. I was 27 years old living in, I've always lived in the Northeast. Now I'm in the South. I'd never had grits ever. Didn't like country music. Never heard of sweet tea. I didn't even know that. Slaw, sweet tea and slaw. They put coleslaw on everything in the South, in Carolina. I would go to restaurants and I'd get like barbecued sandwich and they'd plop a big old ice cream scooper of coleslaw. But they call it slaw, not coleslaw. You know what else though? Nicest people in the world. Everybody's like so laid back. Like I'm at the traffic lights beeping at everybody. Come on, let's go. And everyone else just kind of like, you know, if you didn't know better, just kind of like everybody get their horse and get on it. I mean, that's how kind of laid back it was. You'd think, God, everybody just kind of like owns horses here. I don't know if anybody owns a car, but it just wasn't for me at the time. I hated traveling. I was staying at these motels, not even hotels. I was staying in motels, you know, where the key enters the door from the outside. And so we quickly got back to Buffalo. I quit, but they took me back, so I didn't really have any time off the job. And then from Buffalo, we moved to Cincinnati in latter part of 97. We were only back in Buffalo for 6 months. Got reloaded to Cincinnati and got engaged to Angela. We were already engaged after 3 months, and we decided to just get married. End of February of 1998, but I couldn't take a honeymoon because we were really knee-deep in the middle of our sales campaign. So they said, hey, you can get married. Imagine having this conversation with the boss. Can you imagine? Oh, yeah, you can definitely get married, but you just can't take a honeymoon because we need you here for the sales campaign. They denied vacation. How stupid is that? Vacation denied until May. I was like, wow. Well, all right. So we got married on a Saturday. It was really only a couple weeks' notice. I guess you'd call it eloping because it wasn't even a big wedding. It was only for immediate family. My mom died that year, 97. My mom died in July 7th of 1997. This was February of 98. So I didn't have my dad. I just met him for the first time a couple of years ago, 2012. So I hadn't had a relationship with him at that point in time. So really, it's just my brothers and sisters. And Angela's mom and dad came on short notice. And we had a small wedding at the a church in Westchester, Ohio. Oh, God, what was it called? It doesn't matter, I guess. But anyway, I think Ann started to realize, boy, this guy's, he makes decisions quick. I'm like, hey, let's get married. Okay, cool. When? 2 weeks from now. Let's just do it. Come on. We're never going to plan a wedding. We've been planning this thing forever. My mom died. Everything happens. Family. You know, the worst part about a wedding is planning it. Because I'm thinking, I said, Ann, here's the deal. Okay. We're a couple of struggling mid-20-year-old people. All right. We love each other. We want to get married. We want to spend the rest of our life together. But I don't want to look at your Aunt Zelda with a $100 bill on her forehead thinking, I'm never going to see you again, and you're costing me $100. You know, lay off the liquor and get away from the buffet. Yeah, and I'm thinking, I don't know Zelda. Why am I going to spend $100 on her? Let's go buy some assets. Let's go, you know, do something where our money's really going to work for us. She's like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, that sounds romantic, but let's go buy assets. But it makes sense, doesn't it? These wedding receptions are crazy. Are you kidding me? $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 for people? You're never going to see these people the rest of your life ever, okay? Why are you spending $100, $200 ahead on them? I never figured that out. Unless the return on investment's so high that they're giving you more in the gift card than you're spending on them. So I guess I'd have to see that laid out, but I doubt it works in the favor of the bride and groom. Unfortunately, I've got three daughters. So I'm not so sure this is all going to resonate with them when they decide to get married. So I'm going to have to put the hard sell on the old elopement. Like her dad, Angela's dad, did to me. Hey, you guys elope. I'll, you know, throw you a couple bucks. I'm like, hey, I'm in. No worries there, buddy. Let me give you my wire transfer, my bank account. So, 98, I couldn't take a freaking day off work. Do you believe that? I worked on Friday, which was the 27th, got married Saturday the 28th, hung out with family on Sunday, and then everybody left. I had to go back to the job Monday morning. You know, now we have our Monday morning sales meetings, and they're like, hey, I want to congratulate Sam and Angela Crowley got married. Oh, hey, let's give it up for everyone. Woo! Yay! Like, hey, just who I want to spend my honeymoon with. You guys. That's great. I don't see enough of you. Worked that whole week, worked the month of March, worked the month of April, and then we went on a cruise, a Royal Caribbean cruise. I've never been on a cruise ship. Haven't been on one since. In June of 98, it was amazing, man. It was the most relaxing time because you couldn't take any cell phones. Obviously, we didn't have kids at the time, so it was just 24/7 eating, drinking, and sun nonstop. If you've never been on a cruise, take one. You own it. You really owe it to yourself. It's just, it's like going in an environment where people are knocking themselves out to try to wait on you. Like, who can wait on you better? You know, it's just amazing. But that got me kind of pissed off, though, that I couldn't take a honeymoon. And that's when I started to realize, you know, initially, like, wow, I better figure out something because I'm not really comfortable with people telling me. I mean, forget the part about marriage, just whatever it is. I just don't like people telling me what to do. I don't like that. And I think that's a very key ingredient that entrepreneurs have in their DNA. It's like, we don't like to be told what to do. Let us figure out the answer ourselves. It's not that we think we know it all. It's just, I don't want you telling me. I don't want you telling me I can't take Monday off. I want to take 7 weeks off. I'm going to take them off as long as I'm doing the job and adding value. That's the beauty. When you're an entrepreneur, you can set up systems. You can set up a business. You can set up a way for you to continue to earn income while you're out for a couple of days doing whatever you want to do. Throw the cell phone in the garbage and go hiking. Go snorkeling. Go fishing. Go swimming. Go to garage sales all day long. Just go do something therapeutic. You can't work 24/7. All right. It's going to take a lot of work as an entrepreneur to get your business up and running. That's no joke. I mean, I like I said, it makes me crazy when people paint this picture of these push button profits of, hey, you just click this button and you're going to have money. No, it's not like that. Now, I don't think it's ever been easier ever to earn income, especially now with the internet where all you got to do is market social media and an email list and get people into a sales funnel and sell great products. That's never been easier. There's no disputing that. I mean, the internet has really been a huge game changer. But you still got to work. But here's the beauty of being an entrepreneur. For example, I worked hard this week. And now today I'm doing this podcast. I'm interviewing Shane later today for our Sunday spiritual podcast. And I'm taking the rest of the day off. It's my anniversary. I'm going to hang out and chillax. And I'll get back at it. I'll work over the weekend because I don't mind working. I say I work on the weekend. It's like, oh, geez, aren't you the everyday Saturday guy? I mean, what's all this about working on the weekend? It ain't work, dude. It ain't work. I love it. I absolutely love what I do. Like, I got up this morning at 3 a.m. I went to bed at 8, so that's 7 hours sleep. I woke up at 3 like my hair was on fire. Like, I could not wait to get on my laptop, go through the email, social media. I replied to everybody. Anybody sent me an email, tweeted, replied, responded back to you. And then I started preparing for the launch, a podcast house, the global launch I've got coming up. And by the way, you can certainly participate in that launch. If you want to learn how to get your voice out, it's not just about podcasting. It's about getting your message out to the masses. Just put your name on the list. Go to podcasthouse.com. And there's a page there right now. You can put your name on the list next week. We start the launch sequence. You're going to get some really great videos learning how to really get your message out to the masses. And so that's what I did this morning. Woke up and worked on that. Responded back to my assistant, Candace, with a couple of questions she had. And I'll tell you what, man, I love it. So I've been working now. I'm recording this podcast a little earlier today because I got two going on. And it's 9 a.m. So I've been up 6 hours. Somebody who doesn't get up till 7, this would be the equivalent of 1 in the afternoon. I guess I should have lunch right now at 9 in the morning. My point being, when I was in a job, I used to stare at the clock. Like, it couldn't go fast enough. It was impossible for it to go fast. I would I broke my day into quadrants when I was not doing, like when I wasn't excited about my job. There was peaks I was really excited, but it didn't last long. But when I wasn't excited about my job, I break it into quadrants from 8 to 12. That was the first one. Not quadrants, just sections of the day. Quadrants would be 4, and 8 to 12, it ain't going to make 4 quadrants. 8 to 12, take as long as a lunch as I possibly could, let's say 1:30, and then just stare at the clock till 5. I hated it every day. That's what I did until I realized that I could actually be working on something else at the exact same time, a side business, anything to get me out of this rat race. So that's where I was in 98. Where were you in 1998? February. Were you married? Were you single? Did you have a job? Were you an entrepreneur? Did you have a dream at that time, maybe? And maybe that dream is just starting to get ignited again? Did you have different relationships? Have you been divorced since? Have you lost friends or family members? Did people believe in you then? They don't believe in you now? Let me tell you, a lot happens in 16 years. I look back at the person I was, not even close to the same guy. I don't have one friend. Well, that's not true. My buddy Mike was the best man at my wedding. He's there, still with me. But I don't think I've got more than just a few people in my life now that were with me then. Because people react wild when you decide to stop playing small. They just get all crazy. It makes them feel inferior. It makes them feel low. It really exposes the fact that they didn't have the courage to go for their dream. So look, very simply put, people who have no life are always going to try to take yours down. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. So in 16 years, happy anniversary to my beautiful wife, Angela. It's great to be doing this podcast with you guys, the Everyday Saturday Show. Make sure as we get into the latter part of this year, it's already 2 months in the books now, guys, right? 2 months. March 1st is tomorrow. If you're listening to this show and it's June and July, it's even further down the road. Just a month ago, everybody on social media, oh, January, here it is, 2014, it's my year. Now I see these people complaining, the same ones, about the same thing they were complaining about last year and the year before. Don't be that person. Remember, life's a play. Get your role, find your role in this play called life, and crush it, man. Win the Oscar! Hit me up on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let me know you're listening, okay? And of course, go to everydayisaturday.com. If we don't have your name and email, make sure we do so we can stay in touch, motivate, and inspire you. We don't spam, man. We just inspire and let you know all the tips and tricks, what it takes to make every day Saturday. I'll look for your tweets at Sam Crowley. In the meantime, we'll see you back here. Same bat time, same bat channel tomorrow, March 1st. Have the best day ever.
Thank you for listening to the Every Day is Saturday podcast. Still fired up and want more of Sam Crowley? Be sure to visit everydayissaturday.com. And don't forget to follow Sam on Twitter at Sam Crowley. Let Sam know you're listening. Use hashtag Every Day is Saturday.